The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, welcome into a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serralo, getting ready to take you through this Thursday morning as we gear up for the weekend ahead. Kelly, a lot of NBA action last night. Can't say the same for the weekend ahead, but yes. We'll have, you know, the slam dunk contest, the All-Star game. Are you an All-Star game better? This tells me a lot about someone's personality.
It's a great question. All-Star game better? No, not for the past few years. Have different formats once again this year, so I don't even really know if there's going to be good betting possibilities for that. Now, the three-point contest, I'll get involved with.
You're going to be sitting there Saturday night eating a thing of Domino's and just firing away three-point contests.
Oh, come on. We can do better than Domino's, man. Come on.
I would hope.
Unless you want to sponsor this show, Domino's, then I love you.
I think that's what my high school Saturday nights used to look like. Domino's and firing away, you know, three-point contests and dunk contest bets.
Three-point contest, I'll usually pick two or three guys and then ride with that. Because I think there is, like, you could at least handicap that a little bit. You can look at stats from the season, wide open three-point attempts, who's shooting what. And, yeah, it's a little bit more of a gut feel thing. And it's smaller bets. I'm not saying it's a huge great betting opportunity, but it's one I like to get involved with. And then you watch the other nonsense that goes on.
I mean, it also is about your only option Saturday night. If you're not a college hoops guy, I obviously am, Kelly, not so much. Yep. If you're not a college hoops guy, that might be your only option Saturday night to get some action out there. Might as well have been a three-point shootout at Madison Square Garden last night. Knicks, Hawks, overtime, and they don't call it undertime, guys. 149-148, the final there at MSG. I thought the Knicks early were going to run away with that one, Kelly.
Yeah.
And then Atlanta just lingered.
Yeah, it was looking like that. Man, it was so much, way too many games. We never need every team in action. Like, there was, you and I were joking about it. We'll get to it. I'm like, I'm watching Thunder, end of Thunder game, and don't even realize this game is going like this at the end, where it's becoming a tie game and going to overtime. I have to switch it over for OT. But yeah, it's just a crazy high scoring game. Knicks, Hawks. We expected it to be, a good one. We talked about that yesterday, and it was like, yeah, we both kind of lead Knicks, but I'm not laying the points with what we've seen Trey do in the Garden before. So yeah, great game. Knicks come out on top.
Yeah, I was thinking Knicks would win. I was leaning Atlanta plus the 8 because of the spot for the Knicks traveling back from Indy and coming home, second leg of a back-to-back. One interesting trend that in the second half I think we need to start paying attention to, Knicks starters on the back end of a back-to-back, their numbers are through the roof, going over points numbers, Brunson averaging over 30, Cat averaging about 35, all in the second leg of a back-to-back.
That's interesting. I actually thought you were going to go maybe bring up that they were giving up more points just because those guys play so many minutes already.
In this game they did, but no, they're scoring a ton in the second leg of a back-to-back, and it showed again. Brunson had 36 in the win. Karl Anthony Towns had 44, 10 boards, double-double. Josh Hart, 18, 10 boards, double-double. It was just, an offensive outburst for the Knicks coming off a game in Indy where I believe one of our guests yesterday made the great point, kind of an emotional game at the Pacers. Obviously, it's a regular season spot in early February, but still, given the history between the two teams, their rivalry in the playoffs, kind of an emotional spot. You could have seen this being a letdown, and it almost was in the second half, but collected themselves, got the win in OT.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, honestly, two big games for the Knicks back-to-back with just the Eastern Conference and how it's shaping up. And yes, with what has happened with these teams in the Knicks before in the past.
Now, Oklahoma City, you mentioned your best bet laying 13.5. That was pretty sweat-free, huh? Got there easily.
Okay, I got 12.5, Joe, so it was really easy.
Me.
Okay. No, it was one of those games, one of those classic bets of, okay, we say this all the time, but I'm sorry, I'm gonna say it again. We all love to complain about the bad beats and close losses we have. Remember when you get lucky and get one home that you should not had no business getting home. Thunder was that for me last night. The Miami Heat scored 8 points in the fourth quarter, and if you had team total under on Miami, you got there. If you had Oklahoma City laying the points, you got there. Ridiculous fourth quarter. I couldn't believe it. I was watching it. I was like, is this really going to have a chance? And they actually got home. So that was a good one for the evening. And I'll take that kind of luck every time, Joe. It's one of those. It's still lucky. You got to remember it. But it was kind of part of the handicap, as we knew the Heat were dealing with some illness flying around. They had multiple guys out because of it. I think no shocker when you get to the second half, they looked dead tired. And especially in that fourth quarter, we're not able to do anything against this OKC team.
And you did, to your credit, we were talking about two teams in this respect, Boston and Oklahoma City. And you pointed out that these two teams, because I had mentioned the Celtics game, potentially playing the first half, they were laying five against San Antonio. That got there with ease. Full game got there as well. But you had mentioned that the way that the Celtics and Thunder are constructed, if the game is close after three quarters, they can just completely run away with it. The fourth.
Yep.
And so that did, you know, I don't know if that's exactly how we thought the Thunder Heat game was going to play out, but it did get you home in that
exactly.
case.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. No, it absolutely is. It's just, they're so, both teams so deep, so much talent, and you go up against some of these other teams, Miami, a good example, especially when they have a couple guys out, you're already a little short on talent and what's available in your starting lineup. And then when you go to compare benches, it's just OKC, what they can throw at you is overwhelming.
How about that Houston-Phoenix game? Two cold teams coming into play. The Suns up by 8 going into the fourth quarter. And Houston laying 6.5, outscores them by 16 in the fourth quarter, 35-19. Not only do they get home with the win, they get there with the cover as well, an 8-point win for a team that was trailing by 8 going into the last quarter.
Yeah, it was impressive. I mean, this is, you know, we've brought it up the past couple of days, but definitely if you're betting NBA, you got to bookmark a couple of these teams to keep your eye on. It's easy for us to forget about things when we hit this All-Star break and we don't play basketball for almost a week. When we come back, it's bookmark things like, where are the Phoenix Suns at? Where are the Dallas Mavericks at? Where are some of these teams at that, you know, we had a lot of questions about, and honestly, I've been fading, you know, the Suns and the Mavericks, and that, you know, go over to the Dallas Golden State game. Okay. Mavericks end up playing well and getting a W. And I honestly, Joe, think that changed my mind a little bit about Mavs going forward with what they were able to do last night of just, you know, outside of really one game, they've fought. They've at least fought in almost every one of these games so far, without AD, without Luka, and it's been impressive. So I know I was talking about kind of looking at them as being a fade candidate for me going forward, but let's see what an All-Star break does. You get some time for these guys to recollect their thoughts. I think it's going back to Phoenix with Kevin Durant, all the trade rumors and everything going around. I'm sure that guy has not been a happy camper the past week or so. But okay, now you get a week to chill out, relax, recollect yourself, especially with the Phoenix Suns. We know how much talent they have. Can you actually put it together on the basketball court? It's a big question. So I think it's a couple of, you know, bookmark these type of notes for when we get back to in action next week.
It's funny that you beat me to the Kevin Durant stuff, because my next question I was going to ask you is, how frustrated do you think that guy is right now? 42 minutes last night, which I feel like is uncharacteristically adapted. High for him. 37 points, 5 boards, 9 assists, also uncharacteristically high for him. But listen to the rest of the starting five he's working with. Royce O'Neal, Nick Richards, Bol Bol, Tyus Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, is that what he signed up for in Phoenix?
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's these are the type of things we got to see how he... The problem is Durant is once he gets on the court, he's still Kevin Durant. You know, it's right. Just, you know, we'll see if anything more happens off the court.
I mean, it couldn't save them in the fourth quarter, though. They went into that with an 8-point lead, end up squandering that lead and losing the game, not even covering. Golden State-Dallas, you mentioned that game. Do the Mavericks deserve more credit, or do the Warriors deserve more criticism after a game like that?
Man, I think it's... I'll go a little bit of both, which I guess is the easy way out.
Yeah, but Kelly's running for office. Yeah,
I'm going to go Dallas more credit, though. I'll give Dallas more credit. Way to step up and get a W here after everything that's happened the past couple weeks. I think Golden State, and we're going to talk about it next segment. But hey, Golden State hosted the All-Star game. I think maybe that was the prime candidate, and I whiffed on this completely. I laid 5 and got out to 8, closed at 8 with Golden State. So wow. A lot of people whiffed on this. I think Golden State's thinking about hosting an All-Star game in San Francisco and not really enjoying being on the road right now. And they need a week for them to get their team together here and go forward.
Is it bad that I had no idea this weekend's All-Star game was in Golden State? I had no clue.
No.
That's how little I pay attention to the NBA All-Star game. I don't even know the format this year. Kelly, what is the format?
I feel like we're now in the rotation, too, with the, like, you know, like the Pro Bowl. I've got to double check every year, too, where I'm like, we're not doing that in Orlando.
Yeah,
like,
now,
we're
right?
not going back to Hawaii or anything, right? We're just in Orlando now and everything. So, yeah, we'll talk through All-Star game a little bit more tomorrow. But, we've redone formats where they're drafting teams and all that stuff.
What is the format? Is it four teams?
It's 4 teams. I'll have to pull up all the details. Yeah. I don't even know them off the top of my head.
That'll be for tomorrow for sure. What do you think about Kyrie moving forward? Can Kyrie single-handedly will this team?
It's a great question because it is the question when it comes to the Dallas Mavericks. And I think from the basketball player standpoint that we've seen on the court, Kyrie Irving, yeah, he can. And one of the big knocks about the Luka trade was, man, so much of this team was constructed to play around Luka Doncic. Now, a lot of that still applies for Kyrie Irving, but you are asking him to just do an incredible amount on the basketball court, both scoring and assisting the ball, running this offense completely. It's tough. I think Kyrie's that good of a player that yeah, he can do that, but not to have the other surrounding talent to take them to another level is going to be the problem.
Kelly, how about this Lakers-Utah game? 131-119, Jazz get their 13th win. I mean, how concerned should you be? Obviously, Luka's minutes still restricted, only played 23. Mm-hmm. But if you're the Lakers, you expect to blow them out of the water, a team like Utah. How concerned should LA be?
And I don't think a ton, except for, I'll keep going back to it, the center position. My double-double didn't get home with Walker Kessler.
I was tracking that for you.
Yeah, with Walker Kessler, but he was still a beast inside with six blocks. It's just these are the type of things that they're going to have they're going to have some problems with some of the bigs that they go up against. As far as the Lakers offense and Luka Doncic and all that, I'm not worried about that at all. Let's give it time. That will come together. It's just, do they have the right team makeup for this to go forward? I mean, this was not the plan. The plan was to add Mark Williams before the trade deadline and go forward with a real center in your lineup. They don't really have that right now.
No, they're definitely lacking size down low. Folks, we've got a great rest of the show coming up. How about these guests we've got to round out our number one? More NBA talk with VSiN's own Zach Cohen coming up in about 20 minutes. Then Phil Bobbitt, motorsports handicapper, going to break down everything you need to know about the Daytona 500. On the other side, we'll look at last night's college hoops card, and I'll already start dishing out some best bets in college basketball for the night to come. It's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo. Don't go anywhere.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Folks, sports betting never slows down, and neither should you. With the Daytona 500 coming up this weekend, the NBA and NHL seasons in full swing, the PGA Tour underway, and March Madness, as well as the MLB season right around the corner, there is no shortage of action to wager on just because football's over. Start betting smarter now with a VSiN Pro subscription. For as little as $9.99, you'll get a daily email with all the plays from our hosts and their guests, expert analysis, deep dive stats, and exclusive insights to help you make the smartest picks. Don't place your bets unprepared. Get full access today for just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We welcome you back into a numbers game. I'm Joe Cirillo alongside Kelly Bidlin, and getting ready to take you back to the Progressive guest line with that Daytona 500 just days away. Who better to break it down with than our friend Phil Bobbitt, motorsports handicapper from over at CBS Sportsline. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at SpeedwaySteve2. Phil, how are you today? Thanks for hopping on, man.
Good morning, fellas. I am thrilled to be here. It's the start of NASCAR season. I'm excited. Let's get some winners in the account.
Yeah, we're getting the season started. And, you know, speaking of winners, not just this weekend, how about for the full season? You've got a couple futures to start us off with.
We've got a couple plus money winners here. We're going to go with Chase Briscoe, over 1.5 wins. You can find that at Bet Rivers. We like Chase this year. It could be his breakout season. He's upgrading into a JGR Toyota from a lame duck Stuart Haas wagon. He won twice in that lesser equipment in the past years. Bad stuff. This is a big performance bump. Martin Truex, who retired, was in that car last year. He won 16 times in 6 years in that car. We like Chase Briscoe over 1.5 wins. The next one we like is Shane Van Gisbergen under 1.5 wins. That's plus 112 over at Bet Rivers. This guy is irrelevant on the oval, so you can throw 30 races out the window. There are only six that matter to him. He's one of the best road course racers in the world. The ovals are a different beast. He's just not ready. We think he's going to win one, but he won't win two.
Phil, it's awesome having you back. Just a reminder for everybody listening out there, if it's your first time catching Phil, he reached out to us. We brought him on before the first F1 Vegas, and I don't even know how many bets he gave out, Phil. I think the story I tell is he gave out like 12 and you hit 11 of them or something like that. It was insane. So, Phil Bob, it's always our go-to racing guy here on A Numbers Game. So, look, I need you to break this down. We got Daytona 500. We know it's huge this weekend. We brought you on today, though, because we've got the duels going tonight, right? This is going to help set up the order for Sunday. Walk us through all that and then your bets for tonight.
Sure. Qualifying was last night, and that set the front row. Then these duels, there's two 60-lap races. They're like little sprints, and they'll set the qualifying order for 3 through 40. So there's two of those races tonight. The first one, we like a little sprinkle on Austin Dillon at 22-1. The guy's an absolute knucklehead. Just so you know what you're getting into here, the price is probably right. But he did win the 2018 Daytona 500. He also won at Daytona in the spring of 2022. He's got RCR power under the hood. They always bring good equipment to these super speedway tracks. 22-1 has some value, so sprinkle that. We like the duel two a little bit better, though. There's a lot of strong Fords in the field. They should control the race. We will see a green flag pit stop. So the Chevys will be at a bit of a disadvantage. They only have Alex Bowman, Kyle Larson, Shane Van Gisbergen, and Daniel Suarez in the field. So the Fords have a lot more numbers to work with, which is huge. So we like Austin Cindric at 10-1 at Caesars, Chris Buescher 11-1 at DraftKings, Noah Gregson 25-1 at DraftKings. You can Dutch those together in an equal manner and get plus 370 for the trio of those guys. Those are all strong, strong Fords, and we'd like them to get it done tonight in duel number two.
So, Phil, you're talking to me about the strong Fords in this field. I just learned yesterday for the first time that in golf, you can bet on the top golfer of a certain country, a certain nationality. That was news to me. Now I'm learning you can bet on a top car based on manufacturer. So you're talking about all these Fords. Do you have a play for the top Ford this weekend?
I do. The top Ford, we're going a little bit further down the board here, 16-1. We're taking Noah Gregson. We like Noah a lot, and we talked about him on A Numbers Game before. He's the kind of guy that if he wins, he's going to climb the fence and just slam a beer. So he's our kind of guy. Noah is also stepping out of that Stuart Haas wagon from last year, so it was kind of a middling car into a front row motorsports car, which is excellent at these super speedways. He has led at Daytona before last year. He led in Talladega as well last year. He's a really, really good super speedway driver. He started 37th in 2022, finished ninth. He started 38th last year. And then he finished ninth. He finished third in 2022. So we like Noah to get out front. Lead the Fords. Maybe he gets it done. He's also plus 240 for a top 10.
Yeah, top 10 and the top Ford for Phil on that one. Phil, I'm going to tee you up on this one, man. You got five outright bets, it looks like, for the Daytona 500. Plenty of other bets, top 10s, matchups, everything. Just talk us through your outright bets and anything else on the board you want to hit on.
Sure thing. So the Daytona 500, I wish it was a little bit more predictable, but you know, it's the first race of the year. Everybody's excited. You're probably going to watch it with your buddies. So we want to get a portfolio of guys. That way you have somebody standing at the end because there's inevitably a huge wreck. Somebody will make a mistake and take out half the field. So you got to have lots of bullets in the gun. So we're going to take Chase Elliott. There's a rogue 18-1 at BetMGM right now. We're taking his teammate, William Byron, 20-1 at FanDuel, Alex Bowman, 35-1 at DraftKings, Justin Haley. That's a name that you might not know, but he won a rain delayed super speedway race before, and he's 55-1 at DraftKings. And then we're also taking Front Row Motorsports. That's a trio of Zane Smith, Todd Gilliland, and our guy Noah Gregson. You can Dutch all those guys together and get plus 360. That way you're at least going to have somebody in the fight. Because these super speedway races are just so hard to get a winner home. We think this is the best way to do it. A little scattershot for the outright winners.
I like it. Now, Phil, talk to us about positionals. You've got a plus money positional prop here. How do you go about capping those? And what's your favorite one for the Daytona?
All right. So our favorite one, and we like this a lot. It's Martin Truex under 19.5. So we need him to finish 19th or better. It's plus 130 at Caesars. They hung this morning, so it's a current number. But he's a retired guy. This is his first week of retirement, and he's spending it in a race car. So since the next-gen car's introduction in 2022, which is a new design of the car, he's finished inside the top 20 at Daytona 4 out of the 6 races. When you include all the Super Speedway dates back to 2022, he's 12 for 18 inside the top 20. So a plus money price gives us a huge edge here. We've got him projected between 14 and 17. This car, it's racing under the Tricon Garage banner, which is a very, very small truck team, but it's a Toyota. He raced with Joe Gibbs Racing in the past. This is a Joe Gibbs prepared car. Those Toyotas look good in a 40 car field. We like his experience. Give us Martin Truex under 19 and a half.
Hey, Phil, I'm going to talk to you through how I'm going to bet Daytona, and you can tell me whether I'm an idiot or not, because I do this every year now for like the past 3 years. I just wait for like 100 laps to go by, a couple crashes occur, and then I just get involved live. I look for one of the bigger names. He's drifted back in the pack. I can get a longer number on him, and maybe I'll add one or two of those and hope they survive to the end. But so many crashes that come into play here. Is this a better live betting event than most NASCAR races?
Yeah, it sure is. In fact, like even the first 100 laps don't matter. These guys are going to be saving fuel for the majority of it. So it's going to look cool on TV, but they're not going full out until very late in the race here. So that brings us to another prop. I like the lap 190 leader to win the race. Yes. Plus 400 at Caesars. This will make sure you have a dog in the fight, Kelly. And the way this new car is designed, passing is incredibly difficult. It's hard to get momentum going to complete a pass when they get strung out single file. They can't build the momentum. So this race is normally won from the front row late. Give us the lap 190 leader plus 400. Yes.
Okay.
Phil, before we let you go, final 45 seconds or a minute here. Kelly just mentioned, you know, that this race has a lot of crashes usually and that there's some big cluster. Is that a market that you can get in on? Is there an over-under set on
Joe just
crashes
wants to,
in this?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a NASCAR guy. I'm waiting for someone to turn right.
He just wants to bet the over yes on the crashes. Yeah.
Is there a market for that? Because I went to one race in my life, and the clash at the Coliseum, there must have been over 10 crashes, no exaggeration, in that race.
There is. That's not a market that we cap in NASCAR. It's one that we cap in F1. So you'll have to have us back for the crash market. If there was, it would be minus 8,000. Yes, for this race. It's going to happen. I got two more quick ones I want to get out before we go. In a matchup over at Caesars, we're going to take Ford over Chevrolet because this is a numbers game, Kelly. We've got 5 Fords projected in our top 7. So that's just. There's just so many of them. We think they're going to beat Chevrolet. So Ford over Chevy minus 105 at Caesars. We also like William Byron over Brad Keselowski. In these matchup bets, we like cruisers, not bruisers. And Brad Keselowski normally has his snowplow on the front bumper in these super speedway races. We like William Byron to get it done minus 110 at ESPN.
Great stuff from our guy Phil Bobbitt. Check his workout over at CBS Sportsline at SpeedwaySteve2 on Twitter. Phil, thanks for the time. When we come back, we'll look at some NFL next team odds. It's a numbers game with Kelly Bidlin and Joe Cirola.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game continues alongside Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo, and we're excited to take you folks to our progressive guest line here as we welcome in our friend from the Field of 68, former NBA player and absolute stud at the University of North Carolina, John Henson, joining us now on the progressive guest line. John, thanks so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Now that you're here, man, I'm excited to talk college hoops with you. And, you know, maybe on not the most excited note, we've got to start off talking about your UNC Tar Heels, because mm-hmm. you were there during a period of absolute excellence where winning was the expectation. It was the norm. And, you know, it's been a very tumultuous, very up and down last 4 years there. You go from runner-up in Hubert Davis's first season, Sweet 16 a year ago, but now it's looking like years 2 and probably 4 might result in this team not making the tournament. So I've got to ask you, how hot is that seat getting for Coach?
I think, you know, it's warm right now. He's probably allowed himself another year because they're going to kind of revamp the front office, quote-unquote, get a GM and, right. you know, try to get with the times. You know, North Carolina is a very old school place. We do things the old school way, and that just is not going to work in this day of college basketball. And they're finding it out very quickly.
Well, they just hired Bill Belichick. Come on, John. they're very forward thinking right now.
And let me tell you, the Bill Belichick hire, internally was done kind of. They went kind of behind the AD's back a little bit and kind of like, you know, proposition Bill. So it's a lot going on over there.
I mean, I thought it was a progressive hire in terms of his girlfriend, maybe not so much in terms of Bill.
Well, she'll be able to blend in at the local bar, so I'm sure
she's still going to the Chi Omega parties, John. Come on, you know what that's about.
John, exactly. I'm pumped to have you on. I think I know the answer to this question, but you got a big college basketball guy next to me, a big NBA guy here as far as betting goes every single night. Now, are you more often recognized as former North Carolina great or former Milwaukee Buck great? Because that's what I think of when I think John Edson.
I'm recognized a lot more as a North Carolina guy. But if you're a Milwaukee fan, like when I see Milwaukee fans, they like, you know, run up to me. They're like, oh my God. Like, you know, so it's, it just depends, but I get North Carolina a lot more, especially like down south. Maybe up north is more of an NBA, that's why I'm an NBA chops.
Makes sense. The South is dominated by college sports. Right now, the SEC dominating college hoops. John, I want to ask you about the upcoming game Saturday, Auburn, Alabama. We don't have a line yet out on the game. I'd have to imagine this one's going to be floating right around a pick 'em. So I'm looking at it from a slightly different angle. To win the SEC regular season title, Auburn is currently a pretty sizable favorite, minus 240 for Auburn in that market. Alabama's plus 220. If this one's going to be about a pick 'em on the game as an individual contest, do you think it would make more sense to take Alabama to win the conference, to win the regular season at plus 220? What are your thoughts on that bet, and what are your thoughts on this upcoming game?
Well, I do like that bet, but if you look at Alabama's schedule, I mean, Auburn is just the start of their problems right now, what's going on. So definitely it's something to look at. And then as far as the game, I got to go Auburn. I mean, I think they're, by and large, the best team along with Duke. And they seem to rise to the occasion. As soon as we kind of see the little doubt in there, they always kind of come through. And if I could get Auburn as a pick 'em, I don't think we're going to get many points with them. I mean, if they do give us points, please, I'm gonna hammer them. But if I get Auburn as a pick 'em against Alabama, who's kind of on a win streak, I just can't see Auburn losing 2 out of 3. I don't think they're that type of team.
John, just looking at the futures board right now, you got Duke 4-1, Auburn plus 425, Alabama plus 850, Houston 10-1, everybody else longer than that. Are there a couple teams that have stuck out to you so far? I mean, NCAA tournament, we all know, is wild when you get there and you just got to win and win in advance. But is there a couple teams further down the board you think could make some noise here once we get into the tournament?
You know, I was super high on Iowa State. All their metrics kind of lend you to believe that they're a top-tier team. Now, they've kind of fell back a little bit, but the numbers say Iowa State is a team to kind of look out for defensively and offensively. And no one's talking about Texas Tech. They're surging right now. Not going to say they're in the championship tier contenders, but they made that Final Four run last year kind of out the blue. They've kind of got the same kind of look and feel as that team, Final Four team, did.
Yeah, just a really well-coached team also. John, not the biggest slate tonight in terms of ranked matchups. Got two top 25 teams in action. Maryland catching 1.5 at Nebraska. Memphis laying 7.5 at South Florida. I'm in on some mid-major games. I've got two plays in the Summit League. South Dakota -1.5 against Kansas City. Omaha catching 9.5 at South Dakota State. You have any action tonight? Any mid-major games? Anything in those two ranked matchups? Anything tonight's board caught your eye?
You know, I'm going to actually go to that South Florida game because it's in Tampa. So I'll get to see those guys play in live. I don't love 8 points on the road anywhere, especially a kind of Memphis team that could walk into that arena and see USF on the jersey and, kind of maybe cruise. But I do like Maryland. Obviously a tough place to play. As we know, Nebraska can beat you at their place, but I think Maryland is up for the challenge, and they've got to start stacking some wins, and I think this is an important game to separate themselves in the Big Ten.
And, John, I want to ask you about one team in your conference in the ACC over there, because I wasn't sure if their early season success was going to translate into conference play. Clemson looks good. Yep. And this is a team that's had some tournament success in recent years. They come off the big win against Duke. Everyone's saying Monday night's a letdown spot. I laid the four with them against your Tar Heels. I apologize for doing that. Okay. I mean, it was the easy. The game was over at halftime. Yeah. It was the easiest win of the year. How far can this Clemson team go this year in March?
Well, you know, I have a Clemson game. I'm calling Clemson Florida State this weekend. So I've actually done a deep dive these last few days on Clemson, and they're really good. They got four guys that can shoot over 40%, that shoot 40% or better from the three. They've got two great guards that complement each other, like kind of offensively and defensively, and Hunter and Jaden Zachary. They've got the big fella who's scored 20 the last two games. So Clemson, I mean, they're a really, really good team, and they defend. So they kind of have all that encompassing. I mean, that's why they – you know, they beat Duke and they beat those teams at home, you know, Kentucky at home as well. So, you know, they're a force to be reckoned with. And then, you know, as far as this weekend, just for people that, you know, may wager on this game, Florida State's really bad at guarding the three. Clemson's really good at shooting the three. Take that for what you know, would like and go from there.
I love it. We got a Seminole sitting next to me.
Yeah,
right,
you saying my nose don't have a shot, John? Come on.
Listen, the problem with Florida State is when you play them once, they played them once, they beat them by 20. Florida State, once you play them, they get you with their size and their length when you play them once. Now that Clemson's played them twice, I think they're going to be ready. Florida State coming off an emotional Wake Forest comeback as well. I don't know about your Seminoles, man. It might be a long Saturday.
Hey, we're turning the calendar over to baseball season. It's a baseball school now, right, John. It just always shifts. You know how that goes. Football, basketball. It just depends how the year's going. You guys know how it is. All right, let's talk a little bit of NBA, John. We've talked a lot about the Western Conference. I want Eastern Conference. You played a long time in the East. The power rank just the top three teams for me, because I've found this an interesting discussion between bettors. I think everybody kind of agrees it's Boston, Cleveland and New York. Hopefully, do you agree with that? And two, what order would you put those three teams in as we're getting closer to the end of the season here and then heading into the playoffs?
I would go Cleveland, Boston, New York. I've kind of been on Cleveland this whole year. Their record shows they're really good. The thing that you kind of only concerns with Cleveland is Boston's kind of got that, you know, we're cruising. We know who we are. We know where we want to be. And so, you know, in the playoffs, they could kind of do what the Warriors did when they won theirs. Kind of like, you know, cruise on in, boom. Next thing you know, they're whooping on everybody. They've been there before. They're healthy. So I think it's going to end up being Cleveland or Boston. I think Boston comes out of the East, though. Sorry for my Cavs. Those are my guys over there. I played for a couple of years. But I think Boston's got the experience, and they just keep on trucking, man. They keep on winning.
Now, what about your old Milwaukee squad? Because this is old Milwaukee, not just a beer, too. but your Bucks squad, I mean, I'm one who says never count Giannis Antetokounmpo out. And when he is playing, he's one of the best in the world. You know that as well as anybody. Any confidence that this Bucks team can make some noise?
For sure. When Giannis gets healthy, I think Kuzma, you know, Chris Middleton is one of my best friends. But, you know, Kuzma is an upgrade. I mean, Chris was injured. You know, he was getting older. All that long money he had, you know, he was just chilling, you know. So Kuzma's a guy that's coming in younger, you know, shoots the three at a high clip. He's a bit more of a playmaker as well, off the ball. So I think for what he is, the Bucks got better, and it gives him a chance to go on a stretch run. But they're going to have to see one of the three big dogs in the second round, so that could be tricky.
John, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for the insight.
Appreciate you guys. Yep.
Follow him on Twitter at JohnHenson31. Does terrific work over there at the Field of 68. Folks, that'll do it for a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serallo. The great content at Visa never ends, though. Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Grace Remington up next.